His Excellency the Representative of the Republic of Italy, His Excellency Dr. Zé Graciano da Silva, Director General of FIO, His Excellency Director Dr. Margaret Chan, Director General of WHO, Honorable Minister, Head of Delegation, Distinguished Delegate, Participant, Excellency, Ladies and Gentlemen. First, the delegation of the Timor-Leste would like to express our profound gratitude to FIO and WHO, especially to Director General FIO and Director General WHO for inviting us to participate in this very important conference. On behalf of the government of Timor-Leste, I and my colleague, Dr. Cesar Lobo, the Vice President of the National Council for the Food and Nutrition, Security and Sovereignty, and Minister of Health. We are very honored to be here today to share and learn new perspective and a strategy on the nutrition as well as food security. There is no question that this conference will provide unique experience and offer great opportunity to a certain brilliant strategy, obtain valuable knowledge and share lessons to strengthen and sustain the improvement of the nutrition food security in our country, in the region, and globally. Excellency, ladies and gentlemen, to halve the number of the undernourished people by the 2015, the target set by the MDGs remain a challenge with approximately 800 to 27 million people in the development world who are still struggling to have access to sufficient, safe, and nutrition food to maintain healthy and active life. Timor-Leste, in particular, made a positive change in the reduction stunting for children under 5 from 15.8% in 2009 to 15% in 2013, and wasting declined from the critical level of 19% in 2009 to 11% in 2013. Underweight among women has also slightly decreased from the 27% in 2009 to 26% in 2013, and vitamin A deficiency 8.1%. The other great news for the is that Timor-Leste is on of the highest rate of early initiation of the breastfeeding in the Asian region with 93% of the our infant are breastfed within the first hour of the birth. Despite to this encourage change, Timor-Leste is still among the highest ranking nation with exception under nutrition. The generally food are available and accessible in the country, although our domestic product insufficient to cover our annual consumption requirement, there's still months where our people experience food shortage, especially in the of great community. Although our food deficit has been compensated with food import. The latest nutrition survey suggests that food diversification and utilization, as well as nutrition awareness, being the main area for the improvement to achieve sustainable food and nutrition security. Excellency, ladies and gentlemen, in spite of so many challenges, the government of the Timor-Leste continue to be confident to fight and vanquish the scourge of the hunger and malnutrition in our country. Among the recent mechanism and policy we have in our new development food and nutrition security policy, national Nutrition Strategy, the National Action Plan to End Hunger and Malnutrition in Timor-Leste under the Zero Hunger Challenge Initiative. This new policy and plan, building on strong collaboration and coordination of relevant stakeholders, adopted a holistic and inclusive approach, whereby aims to tackle both undernutrition and food insecurity through behavioral change to household level and intervention all along the food value chain, such as improving household nutrition, knowledge, and practices, ensuring equitable access to adequate nutrition and affordable food, developing a sustainable food system, increasing smallholder farmer productivity and incomes, ending food loss and waste, and strengthening access to health service, water, and sanitation are among the key objectives of these policies and plans. The aforementioned Zero Hunger Challenges National Action Plan to End Hunger and Malnutrition has provided us with a framework to more comprehensive and coordinate action with clear direction and committed allocation of resources from the stakeholders to steer the vision of increasing food security and reducing undernutrition in Timor-Leste. Multi-sector approach is the only path toward attain sustainable and positive change. Therefore, Timor-Leste established the interministerial called the National Council for the Food and Nutrition Security and Sovereignty in Timor-Leste, CONSANTIL, the national nerve center of the effort to eliminate poverty, hunger, and malnutrition in Timor-Leste. Distinguished participants, ladies and gentlemen, despite our limited resources, the government of Timor-Leste remains committed and optimistic to meet our vision to free from hunger and malnutrition. During the launching of the Zero Hunger Challenges National Action Plan, we committed that 10% of the government annual budget should be allocated to programs and the activities for the nutrition and food security as stipulated in the plan. The efficiently and effectively implementation of our nutrition and food security centered policy, strategy, and the plan represented significant challenges. However, with the government coordination, collaboration, the partnership between the government of Timor-Leste, UN system, regional forum, such as Community of the Portuguese Language Country, CPLP, and Association of the Southeast Asian Nation, ASEAN, are very important driver in achieving Timor-Leste effort to transform our ambitious vision and plan into reality to improve nutrition, food security. The government of Timor-Leste determined to support the regional and international effort to achieve the MDGs targets and the Zero Hunger Challenges Initiative, especially in the reducing the poverty proportion of the undernutrition, eradication, poverty, and hunger. Excellency, ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the government of Timor-Leste, I would like to congratulate FAO and WHO for convening this international conference. This is of the great importance to build synergy, better cooperation, and partnership. Timor-Leste is definitely looking forward for any partnership and the collaboration to help the country achieve food and nutrition security. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Excellency Mariano Assanami Sapino. I will now call on our next speaker, Examo German Rafael Gonzalez Diaz, Secretario de Secretariat Alimentaria Nutricional de la República of Guatemala.
Muchas gracias. Su Alteza Real, señor representante de la ministra de Salud Pública de Italia, señor subdirector de FAO y señor subdirector de OMS, excelencias, señoras y señores. Nos congratulamos por el esfuerzo que la Organización Mundial de la Salud y la Organización de las Naciones Unidas para la Agricultura y la Alimentación están haciendo para podernos reunir después de 22 años en una segunda conferencia internacional sobre nutrición. La lucha contra el hambre y la malnutrición es uno de los asuntos prioritarios del Estado de Guatemala. Así lo refleja la Ley del Sistema Nacional de Seguridad Alimentaria y Nutricional de Guatemala, decreto por el organismo legislativo en el año 2005, que también lo ha sido de manera efectiva durante esta conferencia. Nos ofrece una valiosa oportunidad para abordar la complicada temática de una forma holística y multifacética. El señor presidente de la República, Otto Pérez Molina, en el año 2012 ha realizado una convocatoria de más de 500 representantes multisectoriales, donde se convoca a toda la sociedad a poder luchar en Guatemala por un problema que el país tiene desde hace varios años. Para ese diseño estructural de ese Pacto Hambre Cero se cuenta con muchas organizaciones y involucramiento de muchos técnicos de alto nivel de muchas de las organizaciones que trabajan en Guatemala. 10 sectores sociales representados en una instancia de consulta y participación social, reconocidos expertos internacionales y nacionales, y esa aprobación del plan del Pacto Hambre Cero se hace en el marco del Consejo Nacional de Seguridad Alimentaria y Nutricional. A partir de ahí, las instituciones en Guatemala hacen una clarificación de cómo iba a ser el fomento de la nutrición en este país. Cada una de las acciones que están consideradas por la iniciativa son en el fomento a la nutrición, se le realiza una creación de estructuras presupuestarias. Esas estructuras presupuestarias son refrendadas por la Ley del Presupuesto Nacional y el gobierno de Guatemala le asigna recursos propios a la lucha contra la desnutrición a través del fomento de la nutrición a nivel nacional. Para ese fin, también el organismo legislativo solicita reportes especiales colgados en páginas web tanto del Ministerio de Finanzas Públicas como del Ministerio de Salud Pública. Este proceso hace y enfatiza la gestión por resultados, aplicada inicialmente en uno de los ministerios más importantes en la implementación de estas acciones del fomento de la nutrición. Y con ese proceso se da seguimiento a más de 200 bienes y servicios que son ejecutadas con 63 estructuras programáticas del gasto. Este proceso se realiza y se refuerza con un sistema de monitoreo implementado por la Secretaría de Seguridad Alimentaria y Nutricional denominado SIMON, por el medio del cual se monitorea día a día, mes a mes, las implementaciones de cada uno de los compromisos que cada uno de los ministerios realizan para el fomento de la nutrición, especialmente las acciones realizadas en la ventana de oportunidad de los mil días. Por primera vez en la historia, el país implementa un plan articulado con muchos sectores y se da la tarea de hacer un sistema de evaluación del impacto de esas intervenciones que estamos realizando como gobierno de la República. Se trazaron los lineamientos básicos para una primera evaluación de línea de base en el año 2012 y se han realizado monitoreos en el año 2013 y actualmente se está realizando el monitoreo del 2014. Recopilando información en hogares del país de manera aleatoria y haciendo efectivo el papel del Instituto Nacional de Estadística. Ahí hemos contado con la asistencia técnica del Instituto Internacional de Investigación sobre Políticas Alimentarias, IFPRI, por sus siglas en inglés, y estas encuestas están diseñadas de manera tal que puedan aislar los efectos de cualquier otra política pública que no esté relacionada con la seguridad alimentaria y nutricional. Ese proceso tiene como objetivo poder trazar el camino por el cual nosotros estamos dando resultados para poder reducir la desnutrición crónica en el país. En solo un año de gestión, nosotros hemos podido reducir 1.7 puntos porcentuales de desnutrición crónica y reducir 5 puntos porcentuales la anemia en niños menores de 5 años. Eso nos está marcando la ruta que en los siguientes años podemos hacer reducciones mucho más precisas y mucho más grandes para poder reducir ese flagelo que ahora mismo está afectando a uno de cada dos niños en el país. En el caso de la desnutrición aguda, hemos reducido la tasa de letalidad. La encontramos en el año 2012 de 2.2 niños por cada 100 niños desnutridos agudos y la reducimos a menos de cero en este último año que acaba de pasar. Estos esfuerzos han sido reconocidos a nivel internacional. Es por ello que nos hemos vinculado muy fuertemente al movimiento Scaling Up Nutrition, identificando los avances del país en los 4 indicadores establecidos para una evaluación reciente que se acaba de presentar el día domingo pasado. Asimismo, el Sussex Institute y el IRS, a través del Índice de Compromiso contra la Lucha del Hambre y la Desnutrición, ha reconocido que Guatemala es el país con mayor compromiso y voluntad para combatir la desnutrición en el mundo. Y recientemente, en un estudio del IFPRI, el índice global del hambre en el país redujo 1.4 puntos porcentuales. No obstante lo anterior, reconocemos que existen retos sobre los cuales debemos de trabajar en lo venidero hasta erradicar el hambre y la desnutrición en el país. En ese sentido, la delegación de Guatemala respalda la Declaración de Roma, así como el marco de acción que complementa y declara su voluntad política y empeñar todos sus esfuerzos de manera multisectorial para que en un futuro cercano podamos ver los resultados de esta conferencia. Muchas gracias.
Thank you, Your Excellency, Chairman Rafael González Díaz. Our next speaker is Mr. Canayo Nuance, President of the International Fund for Agriculture Development.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Excellencies, colleagues, ladies and gentlemen, given the staggering costs of hunger and undernutrition in human economic terms, it is inspiring to see all of us gathered here today on such an important issue. Indeed, since the first ICN in 1992, in 2014, we can genuinely say that there is stronger country commitment on nutrition, along with greater international attention. We all know the global figures. 805 million people lack enough food to meet their nutritional needs, and 45% of child deaths annually are due to malnutrition. But these generalities can overshadow complexities and nuances. But one thing is clear. Food may be the foundation for good nutrition, but it is only one of several ingredients. Nutritional outcomes are affected by numerous elements, including education, access to health services, a clean environment, and women's empowerment. And this is one reason why attention to rural development is important. Now, within this big picture, smallholders and family farms have a huge role to play. The world's 500 million small farms are responsible for about 80% of food production in developing countries. And they play a crucial role in ensuring that diverse, nutritious foods are available to rural and urban dwellers of all ages. But one of life's most tragic ironies is that the very people who work so hard to feed their nations are too often the ones who are poor and hungry. The statistics are clear. About half of those living in hunger live in rural smallholder farming communities. 20% are landless and depend on agriculture for survival. A further 10% depends on herding, fishing, and forest resources. Only 20% of the world's hungriest people live in cities. And that is why investments to improve worldwide nutrition must focus on rural farms and families and must recognize the tremendous potential of small producers. By strengthening their role in food supply systems, we're also strengthening employment opportunities in rural communities and the sustainable management of natural resources, including protection of biodiversity. Now we need to invest in their capacity to produce more and to produce it better. These small farms are the center for rural transformation. My institution, the International Fund for Agricultural Development, IFAD, or IFAD if you come from the north, can play a unique role to support this goal. In 2013, we began to scale up our focus on nutrition. And to that end, we have been consolidating everything we have learned about nutrition, about food security, about gender, and agriculture, and rural development. Now, raising incomes through enhanced production and productivity allows small producers to buy the food that they can't grow. But increasing farmer incomes is only part of the puzzle. A focus on nutrition also means investing in better production, processing, and storage to enhance nutrient values. It means introducing more nutritious and more diverse crops. And it means promoting better knowledge and behavior so that changes in farm production result in changes in diet at the household level. According to IFPRI, reaching more than 80% of the world's undernourished children with key nutrition interventions over the next 15 years may require as much as $10 billion per year. We believe at IFAD it will be far cheaper to make sure that all children, every child, has access to balanced, diversified, and nutritious food right from the start. We should therefore recognize that nutrition is more than just a health issue. And the experience shows that agriculture-led strategies contribute directly to reducing hunger and undernutrition. In agriculture-based economies such as China and Vietnam, where smallholders predominate, growth strategies focused on smallholders may do the most to reduce poverty and hunger. Between 1990 and 2013, China reduced undernutrition from 22.9% to 11.4%, and child stunting was reduced from 32.3% to 9.4% in the same period. When we address nutrition, we must not overlook the importance of rural women. There is compelling evidence that nutrition status of children improves when women are educated, healthy, and well-nourished. And this is important. When women have the power to make autonomous decisions. More than half of the reduction in malnutrition between 1990 and 1995 is attributable to improvements in women's status and education. Empowering and educating women must be a principal goal of agricultural development. And of course, more needs to be done to support biodiversity in farming systems. There are more than 50,000 edible plants in the world, but studies show that rice, maize, and wheat provide 60% of the world's energy intake. Several indigenous crops are known to be more nutritious than the ones we eat today, while fruits and vegetables provide micronutrients that are vital for good health. Of course, all of this is still not enough. If we do not come forth with investments and policy actions, our words today will simply disguise our failure to act. And IFAD does not have all the answers. On the contrary, we know that lasting solutions to malnutrition lie in building partnerships between and among UN and other development agencies, governments, NGOs, CSOs, the private sector, researchers, and of course, smallholders themselves. Now, while we are pleased to endorse the Rome Declaration on Nutrition and the Framework for Action, endorsement from IFAD or from anyone else is just the beginning. And that is why, to conclude, I hope that this will be the last ICN where we meet to discuss what needs to be done. Because we know what needs to be done. We know what is required. And so, when we meet next time, if we do meet next time, let it not be for another declaration. Let it be to celebrate success and to be able to say, yes, we did it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nwanze, President of IFAD. Our next speaker and the final speaker for this morning's session is Madam Efren Kassen, Executive Director of the World Food Programme.
Your Majesty, Your Royal Highness, Excellencies, distinguished delegates, ladies and gentlemen, my colleagues, I know I am standing between you and lunch, so I promise to make my remarks short, brief, and hopefully on the mark. This conference provides an opportunity to generate the political will required to end chronic malnutrition and to achieving zero hunger. The high-level participation expected in this conference evidences the growing support for improving nutrition. In fact, nutrition, for the first time, is now at the heart of the global development agenda. Through its recommendations across 15 sectors, the ICN2 Framework for Action document outlines how national governments, civil society, business, and the international community will come together with a common purpose to improve nutrition. The ICN2 Framework for Action builds on the efforts of the 1,000 Days Program, the Scaling Up Nutrition Movement, and the Zero Hunger Challenge. All movements with the goal of not just reducing malnutrition and hunger, but with the goal of ending it. All importantly, this ICN2 framework acknowledges we as a global community must come together, because ridding the world of malnutrition requires each of us to look beyond our particular agency, our particular government, our particular business, our particular civil society organization, and our particular educational or research institution to embrace the ideas, the capacities, and the resources beyond any one sector. Eliminating malnutrition and stunting is not just a question of improving economies, growing nutritious foods, improving health interventions, improving sanitation, strengthening agriculture, or providing greater educational opportunities. It is a question with an answer that requires all of the above as the only correct response. The answer also requires, as noted by President Kanayo Nwanze, that we as a global community must recognize and support women as central to achievement of our goal. Women are the world's frontline food, nutrition, and health workers. Women also hold frontline in education, agriculture, and even economics. At village level, regional level, and national levels, we must recognize the essential role women play and allow them the opportunity to perform that role. We must also recognize that breaking the intergenerational malnutrition challenge requires specific efforts for children in their first 1,000 days, adolescent girls, pregnant women, and lactating mothers. Proven interventions with nutritious, complementary, and fortified foods must reach young children, mothers, and women. If we collectively fail to prevent irreversible stunting in children today, not only do we limit children's potential, we also lay the groundwork for obesity and health problems for tomorrow. So we must recognize the importance of preventing stunting as well as acute malnutrition during humanitarian crisis. We must give greater emphasis to addressing nutrition when we provide support during crisis and conflict response. And as the executive director of the World Food Program, we are committed to doing just that. In closing, as we go forward, our desire to generate action must avoid creating additional layers of bureaucracy. Instead, we must create global architectures which support country and community level action and results. In the village, in the urban slum, in the war-torn neighborhood, in the arid land, on the small island, where the hungry child, the pregnant mother, the adolescent girl, and the struggling father don't see us in this room. But what we do, what we say here, what we commit here should and must matter to providing each of them with a better and a brighter and a different future. We must remember investment in nutrition is not just important, it is essential. Because a malnutrition and hunger-free world is essential for a peaceful, productive, and secure, stable world. Nelson Mandela said it. It always seems impossible until it is done. It is possible. We can do it. We must do it. Thank you.